times in sport. It goes that way with anything. That's what happens when you're the defending Stanley Cup champion. You get the benefit of the doubt.
And you know there's going to be all kinds of outrage, though, come tomorrow. I mean, it's going to be, it's the lines are going to be loaded all day.
Absolutely. And they got, look, they got it wrong. They got, in my opinion, they got it wrong.
Can they really do this job right anymore?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I just think, and I would love to talk to, I would love to talk to Carey Fraser, who's a retired NHL official. I'd love to know what he saw, because he's going to look at this differently than I am. But I just, if I, again, if I can't see it on my TV, then they're looking at monitors. They have the replay booth up there. You know, they take the war room to Pittsburgh, to Nashville during the Stanley Cup final. They're all there on site. If I can't see it, how can they? And I get it. They have different angles and whatever, but they're showing those same things on TV. So I just don't know. I'm not using it as an excuse, because this is where I'm going to use this as a learning moment. I thought the Nashville Predators actually played a pretty good game tonight. Even though they lost 5-3, I thought for the most part they played a good game. The thing that worried me, the thing that I think they have to improve upon for game two, is they didn't respond well after that goal was overturned. It got to them.
I mean,
they showed it.
There's no question. And I don't really like to traffic in the idea of momentum, because it's not really quantifiable. But, I mean, there's no question that affects a team's psyche when something like that happens.
Absolutely. And that's what happened. And then you had the 5-on-3 power play for Pittsburgh. You know, I wrote in my notes, I have the good and I had the bad. In the good, I'll run through that. The power play. The Preds were 2-for-3 on the power play tonight. That was a struggle against the Anaheim Ducks. I thought they came out, and I thought they showed a lot of gusto on the man advantage. And one guy in particular that really stepped up was Mike Fisher. Mike Fisher, being the captain back in the lineup, has not been on the score sheet throughout the playoffs. He got an assist on that first power play goal, PK Subban then to Ryan Ellis. Ryan Ellis, beautiful play to put the Predators on the board. They then get a second power play goal from Colton Sissons, from Josi and Yarncroke.
Who, by the way, has been outstanding, Colton Sissons.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Colton Sissons has been outstanding. And then Freddie Gaudreau gets the game-tying goal. You know, that was another positive, was down 3-0. They came back. They outplayed the Penguins in the second period. Let me state this for people that may have just tuned in. Maybe you're going into work or something. The Pittsburgh Penguins did not register a shot on goal in the second period. The defending Stanley Cup champions did not register a shot on goal in the second period.
Well, I mean, that's, and I was taking a couple notes, because I knew we were going to talk about this later. And the thing that blew me away that I wrote down first and foremost was that they didn't really test Pecorine, and they still beat him.
Right. So that was a positive. Down 3-0, come back and tie it up at 3. I mentioned Mike Fisher, 2 assists tonight, back on the score sheet. Back in the lineup, he's rested, he's as healthy as you can be at this point in the playoffs, and he made a difference tonight. And then Austin Watson on the penalty kill, made at the end of a penalty kill, makes a gutsy play, goes behind the net, sets up Freddie Gaudreau for the game-tying goal. Freddie Gaudreau gets his first playoff goal, first NHL goal, and what a play it was. Since he got called into action after the injury to Ryan Johansson, I think that Freddie Gaudreau has really played well. He has made a difference in this lineup. It's been really cool to watch. Austin Watson, though, all the credit to Austin Watson on that play. Gaudreau was in the right position, but Waddy made that play happen.
And we've talked about the depth that's shown up all year, and it's been fantastic thus far. And even facing such a deficit as they did, down 3-0, to come back and tie it up that way with contributions from those guys, I mean, it speaks to the same thing we've been talking about all year long.
The only power play goal that the Predators allowed tonight was that 5-on-3, and it was at the very end. They went 0-for-2. The Penguins' power play went 0-for-2 the rest of the night on the power play. So those are the positives. The bad, I mentioned it. I didn't think they responded well after the goal was overturned. I think there was a little bit of a psyche issue, as you said. Second period was a completely different story. Something that stood out to me there was Peter Laviolette did an interview with Pierre Maguire. Pierre Maguire was basically taking the, you're down 3-0. what have they been doing to interrupt your play? And Laviolette was saying, I actually think we played a good period. We just don't like the score. And McGuire kept pushing and pushing, and Laviolette finally goes, Pierre, we played well. We just don't like the score. They have 7 shots on goal. I mean, what else do you want? And I liked that because I could see the fire coming out. I knew that Peter Laviolette was upset, and I think that his team fed off of that because you saw a dominant second period out of the Nashville Predators. Even though they only had the one goal to show for it, they dominated that period.
Yeah, and I mean, we've talked about the experience of Laviolette coming into this kind of situation. He's been to 2 Cups previously. He's won one. I mean, it's going to be essential because you saw a defending champion come out and not be particularly dominant, mm-hmm. not play the best version of their game and still squeak out a win. So, I mean, it's going to be absolutely essential to use every advantage you have at your disposal.
When you look at this game, Buck, they only had a couple of lapses, and it ended up biting them. I mean, we see that in sports a lot, that you only have 2-3 mistakes, and they come back and they beat you. One of those was, look, Pekka-Rinne was a little shaky at times. He allowed 4 goals tonight. I know that one of those was a 5-on-3. You can't really put that all on him. But the last goal that the Guentzel scored, I mean, I think you got to make that stop if you're Pekka-Rinne. He only faced 12 shots tonight and allowed 4 goals. I'm not concerned moving forward. I know that some of you on Twitter are like, what does that mean? Relax.
Well, I mean, fans forget these guys are human. I mean, right. There's going to be nerves, and yeah. he has been a superhuman to this point. So to expect him to come out and play the exact same way, I mean, we talked about the psyche thing. There is so much emotionally going on with these guys that we can't even begin to break down.
Well, and another thing that you have to look at, only facing 12 shots on goal, as great as Pekka-Rinne is, as superhuman as he is, if he's just sitting there in his net, not doing a lot of work, I mean, that's going to have an effect.
He's damn near bored.
Right. And I mean, that's a part of the game. Now, I'm not making an excuse for him. I'm saying that for the next game, I think you have to clean up some of the mental stuff. Again, first Stanley Cup final game, it's to be expected that there's going to be some inexperience there, that there's going to be some jitters. I think you saw that at times, but then at other times it looked like they belonged there. So I think there's a lot of positives. There's a couple of negatives. You clean all that up, go into game 2, take that one, come back to Nashville, tied up at 1. I know that's very easy to say, easier said than done, but I truly believe that this team has shown, even in a loss tonight, that they belong in the Stanley Cup final, and they can hang tough with the Pittsburgh Penguins. It's 1 game. The series is not over. The sky is not falling. Everything's going to be fine. It's a long series. And I think another thing that, if you're just a sports fan and you're enjoying this, it's going to be a hell of a series. This one's not going 4 games. This is going to go for a while. They're going to come back to Nashville, and we know what the crowd's going to bring, but I think game 2, you're going to see a better Penguins team, and I think you're going to see a better Predators team. And we'll see how it shakes out in game number 2. Penguins 5, Predators 3. It's Predators playoffs tonight. We welcome your call, 615-737-1025. When we come back, John will be first up. Load him up. It's Predators playoffs tonight, ESPN 1025 The Game. Good time. I like this. Buck Rising behind the glass, bring a little Alan Jackson flavor.
Wake it up, baby.
After
let's
midnight.
Go.
Welcome back into Predators playoffs tonight. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe in the studio. Buck Rising behind the glass. Back previously when there was a night show on this station, we referred to behind the glass as the hot box. So we might have to Ryan Porth is a part of that. A
little double entendre there. I don't know what's going on here.
A little bit. 615-737-1025. The Predators fall to the Pittsburgh Penguins, game one of the Stanley Cup Final, 5-3 tonight. Again, I kind of went through how I felt about it. Buck and I talked back and forth a little bit. Want to hear from you. 737-1025. Let's go to John. He's been waiting patiently. John, welcome into Predators playoffs tonight.
Hey, Chase. Look, I really appreciate you guys taking the call. Love the show.
Thanks.
I just want to say that, you know, like you guys said, you know, you can't make excuses. Yeah, I think that Phillip was onside, and, you know, there was no question that should have been a goal. But, you know, to everybody who's getting down on Peck already, I really only think that Peck's bad goal was the one that he gave to to Malkin. And, you know, other than that, you know, he couldn't have helped the Matthias Ekholm, you know, accidental tap-in. So the guys, everybody's got to keep their head up high. The Preds are going to come back. You know, they've done good. They played a great game tonight. You know, the first period was flukish. You know, there was, you know, to our opinion, a bad call. And there was a fluky goal and one bad goal given up by Pekin. I honestly think that's all it was. I think the guys played a heck of a game. And the Preds faithful just got to keep their head up.
Appreciate the call, John. Thanks.
Thank you.
I think he's right. I mean, look, I'm not going to beat up on anybody on the Predators. That's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to call it like I see it. I'm going to say that, you know, I think there are some things they have to clean up. They're going to have to get better for game two, because even though I believe the Predators will get better for game two, I also believe that the Pittsburgh Penguins will get better for game two. What I am curious about is they have not been down in a series at all throughout these playoffs. This is the first time. I want to see how they respond to that. Now, you know, we saw against St. Louis how they responded of losing a game when they finally lost a game in game two of that series. They came back in game three, and I thought they were a much better team. They controlled that game and ended up winning. Same went for after game five into game six in the St. Louis series. We saw that some in the Anaheim series. They won game six to move on to the Stanley Cup final. Wasn't their best game. So that's kind of how the playoffs have gone for the Predators, that they're not going to be perfect night in and night out. They've had some bounces. They've had some guys in particular put the team on their backs. Colton Sissons in game six against Anaheim. I think that really played into it. Tonight, it just didn't work out that way. And I think that's just really how you have to look at it. You can't use the officials as an excuse because, as I said, that kind of is what it is. That's going to be the breaks in a Stanley Cup final when you're playing the defending cup champions in the Pittsburgh Penguins. I think Sidney Crosby has earned the right to, you know, be able to be influential in the game. That's what I'll say. I mean, but not saying it's right, not saying it's wrong. It is what it is. So you can't use that as an excuse. And I don't think the Predators are. I don't believe that they are at all. And again, if you can bounce back, go into game two, take one at their barn, it's a whole new series.
I mean, how much credence do you actually give a game one in a playoff series like this? Because in the NBA, when the Rockets put a beat down on the Spurs in game one of that series, I mean, people looked at it as if it was going to set the tone for the entire series. It didn't end up mattering. The Spurs ended up blowing out the Rockets at the end. So how much credence do you give a game one like this when the two teams are trying to figure each other out, and it's really, I mean, do we give it that much weight?
I do. I think that game ones are very, very important. I think they're tone setters. Now, look, even in a loss, I think the Predators showed the Pittsburgh Penguins exactly who they are. I think that Pittsburgh realized that this isn't the little expansion team from Nashville anymore. This isn't the team that's just happy to be here. This is a legitimate cup contender. I think even in a loss, the Predators showed that tonight. As for, you know, game one and the feeling out process, I think that's important because especially in a situation like this where these two teams only played each other twice in the regular season. They don't see each other a lot because one's in the East, one's in the West. They're not familiar with each other. for the most part. Obviously, you have, you know, some guys that, you know, in Hornquist and Cullen that played here at one once upon a time. You have James Neal that played for Pittsburgh once upon a time, but a lot of time has passed since that occurred.
You couldn't tell by the Pittsburgh crowd. They booed him pretty good at the start.
You know what? And that's fine, because I think that just fired him up. I mean, his reaction I thought was perfect. He kind of cracked a smile and, you know, he kind of took it in. I mean, I think he expected that. So,
no, I mean, it's the nature of sports. We love that kind of stuff.
Oh, of course. And look, if I'm just a fan in the stands, a Pittsburgh fan, I'm going to do the same thing. So I don't fault the Pittsburgh crowd for that. And I loved James Neal's response. So I think game ones can tell a story. I don't think they tell the whole story. I think that you saw basically what you saw tonight, Buck, was the team that should have won the game didn't win the game because of a few mistakes on their part, and the team that won the game stole one, and that's the message in their locker room right now. That's not me, you know, waving the Preds flag. I mean, calling it like I see it.
Pittsburgh's coach has admitted as much.
Right.
They didn't play their best game, yeah.
And they should not have won. That happens in sports. We see it all the time. The best team doesn't always win.
Especially in the NHL, I feel like.
It's why you play a 7-game series. It's why game two is going to go completely differently than game one. Game three will be different than game two. So on and so forth. That's just how it works, and that's why we watch. That's why we like it, because you never know what's going to happen from game to game. I thought that the response in the second period for the Predators makes me feel really good, because I thought that's where you saw the skill and the speed really come out. The first half of the first period showed me that. I mean, they came out with a lot of jump, and I think that is important. As I said, to set the tone, and I thought they were doing that. They scored that goal, and you know, I was sitting there watching it, and I said, "Well, okay, this right here, that's a statement." Because not only did the Predators score, but it was PK Subban that came in and made that play. And I think that, you know, he's got some heat from the Pittsburgh crowd. You know, a lot of teams in the East still don't like PK Subban because they remember the havoc that he caused when he was with the Montreal Canadiens. And so he kind of, that was a way to take the crowd out of it. And they got put right back in once the goal was disallowed after the review. And if you're just tuning in, I don't think it was the right call. I said that at the top of the show. If I can't see the skate, then how can the rest of, how can the officials? But look, it happens. That's sports. It's just kind of a part of it. But I liked a lot of the things that I saw out of the Preds.
I mean, I don't think fans should have to worry about their team being able to contend with the Pittsburgh Penguins. I think that at the very least is what you can take out of this game. And so what would you say, though, because there's going to be overreactionary fans, what would you say to kind of quell that from rising up?
I will say this. For those of you out there right now that are, you know, thinking that the sky is falling after game one, I get it. You're emotionally invested. I love that about this fan base. I get that way sometimes about my teams. I've gotten that way about this team at times. But it's one game. It's a long series. Go home. Go to bed. Get a good night's sleep. Wake up. The sun's going to come up tomorrow.
And we'll probably still be on the air.
We'll probably be here. I know Braden Gall will be here. Julian Council will be here early in the morning. They'll react to the game. They'll take your reaction. And then you move on and you get ready for game two. There's a 24-hour rule. You know, I have the privilege and honor of working with a 15-year NFL veteran every day. And he always kind of preaches that 24-hour rule. You stay 24 hours and then you move on. Whether it's a win, a loss, it doesn't matter. You move on. And I think that's what Predators fans have to do. That's what this team is going to do. The team will probably go to bed tonight and then wake up tomorrow and then they're done. They're done with it. And they'll move on quicker.
And that's coaching. I mean,
that's coaching.
Coaches preach that from the time you start out in any kind of athletics, from whatever age you're at, short memory. And I mean, it's one of the I hate sports cliches, and that is one of them. But I mean, it's something that it's absolutely essential. So whatever I think of it, for however often it's overused, I mean, it is an incredibly important part of what they need to do.
615-737-1025. It is Predators playoffs tonight. Chase McKay, Buck Rising here with you. When we come back, we'll head back to the Predators locker room and hear from the captain, Mike Fisher, who made his return tonight. That's all next. ESPN 1025 The Game. Slow jams after midnight. Predators playoffs tonight. ESPN 1025 The Game. Chase McCabe in our studios. Buck Rising behind the glass. Chaz Kelly hanging out as well. 615-737-1025. Let's head back to the Predators locker room and hear from the man that was back in the lineup, the captain, Mike Fisher.
As a captain and as a group, how do you handle that?
Well, we've stayed positive regardless of situation because we know we got to play a certain way, play to our strengths and our identity, and we don't, whether we're up or down, that doesn't change how we play. And I think you saw that tonight when we were down 3-0. The team just doesn't give up, and it's a good hockey team. We got to find ways to get wins, and we weren't quite good enough because we didn't come out on the good end. So
did that feel like a weird game to you as you were playing? It looked like a weird game from our perspective.
Well, I don't know how you look at weird, but we felt okay about our first period, and we were down. I think it was bad as it seemed, but that being said, we're still down. We found a way to get back in it, but it wasn't our night, and we regroup. We stay positive. We know they're going to come back stronger. We got to do the same.
So. When you're playing, you have a shot for 37 minutes.
Well, they found ways to get goals in the first, and we knew we had to tighten up, be a little bit smarter with pucks and play to our strengths. And once we started to do that, we started to find our rhythm, and we were getting chances and, controlling plays. And, we just came up short.
Were you aware on the bench that you guys hadn't surrendered a shot?
I knew they hadn't. I knew they weren't getting too many chances, and we were playing pretty strong, but I didn't really realize that. But.
Mike, is it frustrating to know that you guys played a really good game and came up on the short end?
Well, it's disappointing. I mean, we're down. We want to come in and play, find a way to win, and regardless of how we played, we got to be stronger. We got to, be a little bit better defensively and help out Pex a little bit more, but that being said, we had some great things that we can build on and not get discouraged. And, it's an opportunity. We got a good opportunity again in two nights. So.
What does it say about this team that you guys are down 3-0, but yet came back and battled back to tie it up?
Well, we know what's in this room. We've never given up. We've always just kept playing, believing we can win any hockey game and be in any hockey game. And we're going to have to do that again, I'm sure. And we got to be ready. So.
That is Mike Fisher, the Predators captain, after the game. And you can hear the disappointment in his voice. And what do you expect? I mean, that I think is something that you expect to see out of a leader, as he's a guy that commands that locker room. He came back after injury tonight, provided two assists. I thought Mike Fisher played a pretty good game. I thought the whole team played a pretty good game. You heard it there that they felt good about their game. They just came up short. And that happens. Pittsburgh got away with one. They stole one tonight. And I think that the demeanor in that locker room is, or it continues to be, don't get too high, don't get too low. This one you can't do anything about. Now you got to focus on game two.
I mean, I was just going to say, you can hear the measuredness in his voice, because people expect the captain to come out and have some kind of fiery response in all aspects of the team. And I think the most important thing that Mike Fisher could have done, besides the way that he showed up on the box score tonight, is to come out and just preach, hey, just stay level.
Exactly. And, I've always kind of wondered with this question. I mean, we've all been involved in sports in some way, in some fashion. But, when you get blown out, when you just absolutely, you're trash the whole night, you get blown out, it's the worst game ever, you don't feel good about it. but it's a lot easier to just move on because that's what you want to do. It's like, I just want to get over this. I want to forget it.
Because everybody has nights like that.
Right. You're not going to be perfect every night.
That's right.
We know that. I've asked Julian Council about that. He disagrees, but
he doesn't have a mic right now.
He does not. He's asleep. but I think that you have to, but when you look at that, when you get blown out, it's easier to move on. I think it's a worse feeling when you know you played a good game, when you know that you were the better team and you still lost on the scoreboard because of a few little mistakes. I think if you look at that, that makes the Predators an even more dangerous team because they're going to take that. They're going to be ticked off going into game two. They're going to be PO'd for greatness, as Ray Lewis would say. And I think they're going to take that type of mindset, carry that into game two, and clean up those mistakes. And Pittsburgh's going to have their work cut out for them. I believe Pittsburgh will be better too, but I think they're going to have a tough time with the Nashville Predators.
I mean, we're saying that not just because, you know, not just because we're rooting for the team or however you want to look at it. It's because that's what kind of mentality they've shown all year, the ability to come back from difficult circumstances, from adversity, and come out and show what they're capable of. They did it tonight in a one-game sample size. I mean, so it's not an unreasonable expectation for us to think that they're going to come out with that kind of fire.
Yeah, I believe they will. Let's go back to the locker room. Let's hear from defenseman Roman Josi.
Through all that, what kind of feeling do you leave here with after a game like this?
Well, I think right now we're all disappointed. Obviously, wanted to win game one, but we can be confident about our game, and that's what we're going to do and correct some things tomorrow.
Crosby with two assists. How do you stop him? Even when he's not scoring, he just seems to make the right pass all the time.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he does. He's a great player. He always finds guys, and he makes some great plays out there, so we got to be hard on him.
Just a couple more for Rome. Like a holder after the first one, a bad bounce off Matias's knee. Put you guys in a 3-0 hole.
I think we didn't play that poor in the first. I actually thought we started really well in the first 10 minutes. A couple tough bounces and 3-5. But we told ourselves to just keep going and stay with it.
Even though the score didn't go your way, do you feel like this is the style of game you guys need to play moving forward?
Yeah, definitely. I think we really played our brand of hockey and. I thought we played a pretty good game.
That's kind of the general consensus that we've heard out of the locker room, that clean up a few things and they played a good game. And that's been the theme that we've been preaching since we came on the air for Predators playoffs tonight. And I think that, you know, you just have to look at it as don't get down on yourself. That goes for the fan base too. I mean, you asked me about the fan base and I think, look, you can't get too low. I mean, that just doesn't do anything. That's just going to hurt you. And none of those guys are. I like what Roman Josi said. I liked his response to the questions of the, you know, when he said, look, we didn't think we played bad in the first period. Peter Laviolette, I said that earlier. He said that to Pierre Maguire. He didn't think they played bad. He thought they had a good period. They just didn't like the score. And that's just, that happens sometimes. They had a 5-on-3 advantage. They were able to get one out of that and then score quick goals to kind of catch the Predators off guard. I think having the goal disallowed kind of got to them a little bit. They cleaned that up, went into the second period, dominated the second period, got one of those goals back, and then carried that out into the third and ended up tying this thing up. And, you know, I love the resolve. I think that is the number one positive you have to take away from that game tonight is how they responded, how they came back. They were in this thing till the end, and Pittsburgh just was able to steal one tonight.
And I mean, you mentioned the fan base, and we talked about that earlier, and this is a fan base that has been through a fairly emotional ride through the playoffs, just considering where they started, where they were expected. I mean, we didn't even think they were going to make it at one point. And for them to have gone through this kind of emotional roller coaster with a team that's, I would consider unexpected for the most part. I think we can say that across the board. That's pretty fair. But for the fans, you just have, I mean, the team understands that their emotions have to be tempered. You need to as well.
Exactly. And that's that is the perfect attitude to have. They're going to have that going into game two. And I think that's what everybody else kind of needs to look at as well. As we wrap things up, let's hear from Matthias Ekholm.
Effort was there. Effort was good. I thought we played well. Just bounces here and there happens, and that last goal is obviously a goal scorer's goal, and that's going to happen. We could just got to bounce back from it. I think everyone in here is just feeling as confident as they did before this game.
Going to the locker room after the first period, did you almost feel like it was unfair, down 3-0 after having played so well and just goal disallowed, 3-on-5, own goal?
Yeah, no, I thought everyone in here, just we never took the foot off the gas. I thought we played our game the whole game. I thought it showed towards the end that we were the faster team. We had more juice in our legs. That's the bottom line, and that's what I felt like. And then we got that 3-3. I thought it was we deserved that for sure. And then it's at that time. It's an even game. It goes back and forth. And then obviously they got that big goal. So we got to make sure we clean up a little bit more defensively, maybe. But other than that, I thought the effort was there and an offensive play was there.
Crosby had 2 assists. What are you going to have to do better? Yes, coach will be guarding.
To be honest, I mean, one's on the power play probably, and on the 5-on-3, we can't do a whole lot there. And then I thought we handled it well. I didn't think I don't know what they had, 11 shots or something like that over 3 periods. That's 4 shots a period. If we can keep it to that, I know we're going to win games here.
Were you surprised to see that 5-on-3 call at this moment of the game? I mean, it was the first call of the series. And
I don't want to comment on the referees, to be honest. We just got to have to deal with it.
Wow. There you go. Matthias Ekholm. And look, I will say this about him. He's a very respectful player. I have been in an interview situation with him before where he was involved in, a call that maybe wasn't agreeable, and he took the high road. And that's what you have to do. You have to put emotion aside at times. I like what he said. There's nothing wrong with anybody ever saying no comment.
He doesn't have to worry about talking about the refs. We'll do it for him.
Exactly. I mean, look, that's our job. That's not his job, because all that's going to do is hurt him and his team. It's one thing, and I always look at it, too, in baseball. You know, when I see a player, I was watching a game the other day, and it was Hosmer, I think, for Kansas City. He got tossed because he was jawing with the ump. And then Ned Yost comes out. He gets tossed. It's the manager's job. Let the manager handle it. If he sees something that needs to be argued, he's going to come defend his player. Same thing with a hockey coach, football coach, doesn't matter the sport. And I think that is the course of action that a player needs to take, when there's a situation like that. Nothing wrong with saying no comment. I respect Matthias Ekholm for saying that. So, again, dust it off, whatever cliche you want to use. Pick yourself up, come back, game two. Wednesday night, we will have coverage, of course, from Pittsburgh. Tomorrow, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Ryan Porth are up there. They will be bringing us more from practice. And throughout the day, we'll start things off with Braden and Fitz tomorrow at 6 a.m., 3D at 10, and then Jared and the GM at 2 o'clock. Wednesday, the same deal, and Predators pregame at 6 o'clock. And we will again be with you after every game through the Stanley Cup Final for Predators playoffs tonight following the postgame show. We will take calls following the postgame show, so be sure to tune in for that.
Hardest working men in showbiz.
I try. Buck, thank you. Good job. That's going to do it for Predators playoffs tonight. We will talk to you after game two.